Psalm number 88. You know what time it is. Preaching time. Okay. Psalm number 88 and verse 1. The Bible said, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Excuse me. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. And thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. My eye mourneth my reason of affliction. Lord, I have called upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. This sounds like a hopeless psalm. But here's what I want you to notice. This is one of the saddest psalms, maybe the saddest psalm you'll find in all of the 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. Probably the saddest one you'll find. But I want to show you some things in these 18 verses here. I'll point out a couple things to you out of this psalm. We don't really know who wrote this psalm, exactly who it is, but sounds like a very hopeless person. And what I want to talk about here, I'll give you the title of this message, When Life Hurts Really, Really Bad. When life hurts really, really bad. This man here had some problems. We don't know exactly what they were. I've read some commentaries and speculations. It does say here in the beginning, a song of songs for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician among Mahadalah, those names of them guys, I don't know who they are. But anyway, somebody speculated that maybe he had leprosy. We don't really know. That is speculation. I don't know. But I was thinking about that, and sometimes life really painful and some bad things can happen. Sometimes maybe people go through some things and you go through some hurtful problems throughout your life. Sometimes life goes along really easy and fluffy and good, and then sometimes some really hurtful things happen. Somebody had this book one time called The Worst Case Scenario Handbook, and here's some of the chapters in that book. How to escape from quicksand, how to hotwire a car, how to fend off a shark, how to escape from a bear, how to escape from a mountain lion, how to survive a poisonous snake attack, how to escape from killer bees, how to wrestle free from an alligator, how to deal with a charging bull, how to land a plane, how to survive if your parachute fails to open, how to survive an earthquake, how to survive when adrift at sea, how to perform a tracheotomy, gosh, how to take a punch in the gut, how to win in a sword fight, what to do in a leaking submarine, what to do if your mother-in-law moves in. I don't know what to do there. Amen. But sometimes your life seems out of control and it seems like there's nothing you can do. Honestly, sometimes you will face, when you're young, it seems like, you know, you got the world by the tail, nothing can go wrong. There's nothing you can face that you can't handle. But everybody here knows if you live long enough, there will be some things that happen that it will seem like there's absolutely nothing you can do. And listen, life's not so bad if you know what to do. When things come at you and you know what to do, you don't mind fighting something. If you know where to grab it and you know where, you know, if something's coming at you and you can grab a ball bat or a gun, you don't mind fighting it. But if whatever's coming at you, you don't know what it is, and you don't know what to grab and how to fight it, it's hard to fight something that you don't know what it is. And that's the way life is sometimes. And sometimes that's the way this psalm seems, and this psalmist is writing. He believes that he has no future, according to verse 1 and verse 1 through 7 and verses 3 and 4. Sometimes in verses number 8, he believes that he has no friends. Sometimes that's the way it feels, like you have no future. You have no friends. And he talks about, in verses 9 through 12, he believes he has no foundation. And verses 13 through 18, he believes that he has no faith, it looks like. And it seems like sometimes your faith is gone. And it's so bad you can't even pray. You ever get that way? I mean, it's easy. It's really, honestly, look up here. It's easy to listen to all these songs you hear on the Southern gospel stations, and I listen to them like the rest of you, and you know, about this going through the storms, and God will see you through those sides, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But really, when you're going through it, and you don't hear from God, and you don't hear an answer, and none of it makes any sense, and you can't feel God, see God, nothing makes any sense, and you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and everybody keeps giving you those little cliches, everything's going to be all right, and when life gives you lemons, just make lemonade and all that bunch of stuff, and everybody quotes scripture at you and all that stuff, nothing makes any sense. Listen, it's hard, brother. It ain't easy. The Christian life ain't easy when it's like that. And that seems to be what this psalmist, this man, this person, this writer is going through. And brother, there's things you can learn from this psalm. And life is really, really hard sometimes. When life is really, really hard. Sometimes life's hard, but sometimes it's really, really hard. Amen. Sometimes life's just tough, but sometimes it gets really, really bad. Sometimes you stump your toe, but then again, sometimes your foot gets a disease and it rots and falls off, brother. There's a big difference, amen? I mean, brother, sometimes you got a problem and sometimes you ain't got a problem. Sometimes you think that problem you had really wasn't a problem, brother. Sometimes that's minor, amen? Well, listen, I want to show you something here. Brother, when life gets really, really bad, when life's really, really hard, I want you to notice what we learn right here. Number one, you got to maintain your connection with God. Amen, brother. You got to maintain your connection with God. Brother, we notice here in verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 9 and verse 19, brother, he just kept praying to God. He wasn't going all over the place. He wasn't getting on nose mugs. He wasn't talking to everybody else in the world. You notice here that at least he was talking to the right person. He prayed personally. Look at verse number 1. He said, "Oh Lord God of my salvation." I want to tell you something, brother. Hey, when life gets really, really bad, hey, brother, you just got to remember this one thing. You just got to keep, you just got to remind yourself, He is my God. I can't find Him. I can't hear from Him. I don't feel His Spirit. I mean, the tears may not be flowing. I might not can feel His presence. I mean, maybe it don't make any sense. Maybe I'm reading the Bible and it just ain't opening up to me. The light ain't coming on. And maybe it ain't making a whole lot of sense. But He's still my God. Somebody said something about it a while ago. In testimony time, He's my God. It's my salvation. He died for me personally. Hey, I got to pray, Brother Shannon, to my God. God died and God sent His Son for me personally. And listen, I can't get out and pray like God. God sent down His Son for this church. I got to get down and pray like God is for me personally. I want to tell you something, brother. I don't like to tell stuff like this, but I had to get down last night in there in my office last night on my face and cry. And me and God had a talk. I mean, I cried a puddle of tears. And me and God had a talk. The only reason I'm telling you this, I don't like sharing that kind of stuff because it happens every once in a while. The only reason I'm telling you is because it fits in this message. And God said, do it. It was a personal thing between me and Him. And I got down there, and it was me and God. It's a personal connection between me and God. And I needed to talk to Him. It wasn't about me and this church. It wasn't about me and her. It wasn't about me and you. It's about me and Him. And And I got down there and poured my heart out to him, and I've been blubbering like a baby. That's what you got to do. That's what the psalmist did. You got to maintain your connection with God. Hey, God, it's me. I need you. I've got to talk to you. I need your help. You got to maintain your connection with God. He's my Father. He's my Father. I mean, when I get like that, Brother Jeff, I almost feel like he ain't yours. He's mine. That's my daddy. That's my Father. I almost feel like he ain't yours, Brother Sam. I almost feel like he ain't your God right now. He belongs to me. I need him right now. You stay away from him. Don't you be praying to him right now. Leave him alone. You stay away from him. He's my Father. See, the Bible said we cry, Abba, Father. He's a personal God. Oh, I thank God, brother. The Bible said we have an advocate. We can walk right into the throne room of God, and we can cry, Abba, Father. I don't have to go to a priest, a man wearing a dress and wearing a dunce hat, and tell him my problem. I can bear my soul to a holy God. I can talk to him anytime I want to. He's a personal God. I can maintain my connection with God. I connected with him one time many years ago, and I've maintained that connection over these years. I want to tell you something, kids. Best thing you can do is maintain that connection with him. That's the one thing that's kept me going all these years. It ain't been education. I've had a little taste of education. You see what good it's done me? Not much. I'm still crazy as a bed bug. Crazy as a bat in the belfry, brother. But my connection with God and His personal, that personal relationship I have with Him, listen, that's the one thing that's kept me going and kept my relationship thriving with a thrice holy God. Brothers, knowing the same God that reached down and pulled me out of that muck and mire, that filth, and that ungodly, filthy, nasty sin that was dragging me, kicking and screaming to hell. Thank God that same God that saved me that day is the same God that sustains me and keeps me and feeds my soul every day. I know that standing somewhere in the shadows, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. No matter how dark it is.
Amen.
Y'all just bear with me a minute. Amen. I'll get my composure here a little while and preach to you. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Amen, brother. Somewhere in the darkness, in the fog, in the cloud, brother, where you can't make no sense of nothing. There's a God that cares for you.
Amen.
He still cares. He still cares. Lord, how's it going to turn out? I don't even know. You maintain your connection with Him. He told Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not.
Amen.
He prayed emotionally. He said, I cried. I might not even make it to any more of my points. Don't you hate it when that happens? I don't. I like it. He said, there in verse 1, he said, Lord God of my salvation, I've cried. I've cried. You know why some of you don't get your prayers answered? You're flipping about it. You just go to the altar and tell God like He's a Santa Claus. If you get your heart broken enough about it and cry, that cry means cry. He cried out. He cried and he begged. The Bible said a contrite heart and a broken spirit thou wilt not despise. No, there's one thing. A broken heart will change the mind of God. He prayed emotionally. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the book of James said. He prayed emotionally. Oh, the Bible said, I'm weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Psalm 6, verse 6. The Bible said our tears are in a bottle of Psalm number 56. He prayed continually. He said day and night. Amen? He prayed day and night. Maintain your connection with God. When things get bad, just maintain your connection with God. The Bible said, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 said, continue instant in prayer. Just keep on praying. Luke 18, Jesus said, men ought also to pray and not to faint. Maintain your connection with God. Just stay hooked up. You know how you stay connected with something? Just stay plugged into it. You know how you know you're not hooked up to something? And when you reach over to pick up your power tools, and it won't work no more. I'm going to tell you something about preaching and singing and going to church. You can tell when the power's unhooked. I can tell when the power ain't hooked up. And I can tell when the power is hooked up. And when the power ain't hooked up, what I start figuring out is where did it come unhooked at. And I start figuring out what I need to do to get it plugged back in. And you can't get that hook plugged back in by education and by having a nice sanctuary and by dressing better. You get that by praying continually and crying. Amen? And when the choir ain't plugged in and when the preaching ain't plugged in, that's when you have to maintain your connection. Somebody's got to go back somewhere to the power source is at. You sure got to start retracing and going back and say, somebody come unhooked somewhere. Somebody's come unhooked somewhere, church. Is everybody listening to what I'm saying? Amen. That's what's wrong with a lot of our churches. There's no power anymore. There's no power in the preaching. There's no power in the young people. There's no power in our singing. The Holy Ghost ain't in the choir no more. There ain't no Holy Ghost moving in the special. There ain't no tears being shed. People don't cry at church anymore. There ain't no tears on the altar. There ain't no tears during the invitation. And folks wonder what's wrong with our churches. How come people ain't getting saved? Why don't we see genuine revival anymore? It's because the connection's been broken and the power's down. We need to maintain our connection to God. The second thing we notice, you've got to maintain your commitment to God. You've got to maintain your commitment to God. We notice here that God is silent. A lot of these Psalms, you'll notice the writer will make comments, throw a few verses, and God will answer. But we never hear God say anything to this whole psalm. God never says a word. You know what that tells us? Just keep on keeping on. Did you notice through the whole book of Job, everything Job went through, God never said a word until about chapter 42, somewhere along through there. 40, 41, 42, somewhere along in there. God finally speaks. All that time, God never said anything. There's something about the silence of God, people. It's not like the songs always say that God's just going to answer your prayer immediately. The Bible even said in Luke 18 about that parable of the widow I just mentioned about the unjust judge, sometimes he'll bear long with them. Sometimes he'll answer instantly and sometimes he won't. Amen? In Joseph's situation, you remember Joseph, his brothers threw him down in that pit. And the Egyptians came along, they drew him up out of that pit and sold him. You know, that's a wonderful story. He went down to Egypt and he became the king. I mean, he became the ruler of all of Egypt. And he saved Egypt and he delivered his brothers and blah, blah, blah. That story. Oh, it's just a wonderful story. It's a type of Christ. But do you know how long Joseph was down in bondage in Egypt? 13 years. He never heard from God for 13 years. Not a word. God never spoke a word to Joseph. 13 years. God never showed up, and an angel of the Lord never showed up in Joseph's jail cell and said, Joseph, just be patient. The Lord has a great work for you. Nothing. Amen. Joseph never heard a word. Right. Every time Joseph did something right, something bad happened. The butler in the bakery interpreted dreams, one of them got out, said, I'll remember you, Joseph, but he didn't. Right. Every time Joseph did something good, something bad happened. Amen. Nothing. But you know what? Joseph maintained his commitment to God. What's that tell us, preacher? It tells us, Isaiah 55, Exodus, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts and your thoughts." We got to do what's right, whether we hear from God or not. We get to sing or to preach or go knock on doors, whether we get results, whether we see people saved, whether people walk through that door or not. We got to keep on doing what's right and keep on going and keep on going and keep on going, whether we hear from God or whether we don't. Maintain our commitment to God. Just keep on doing it. My daddy used to tell me that all the time. Just keep on keeping on, son. He used to tell me that all the time. Oh, what's he talking about? He'd say, "Be instant in season, out of season." He'd say, "Preach when you feel like it, and preach when you don't." What's he talking about? Honest, I did. I said, "What?" He'd tell me that all the time, Brother Sam. All the time tell me that. "Son, when you don't feel like preaching, let them have it anyway." What's he talking about? I always felt like it. I always felt like it. And 9 times out of 10, the Spirit of God was on me and I was young and I felt like preaching. I know what he's talking about. I really didn't. So, okay, whatever. But as the years went on, and I'd have people stab me in the back, and then sometimes I didn't feel anointed with the Holy Spirit. Right. And then there was times, as I got older, my body didn't really feel good. Right. And it didn't feel like going. Right. And then there's times I'd preach 4 week, 5 times a week, sometimes 5 times a day. And I didn't feel like going. Them words my daddy was ringing in my ears, "Preach anyway, son. Just preach anyway. Preach anyway. It don't matter. Preach anyway. Preach anyway. If you don't feel like singing, get up here and sing anyway. If your throat's a little scratchy, get up here and preach. Get up here and sing. If it sounds like a rooster with a croup, get up here and do it. Rev back on them new claws, brother. Let her rip, Tater Chip. It don't matter what it sounds like. Do it. Just do what God has called you to do." Amen. We're a spoiled society. We're waiting for something. We're waiting for glamour and a spotlight and for the marquee to put our name on it. Well, to do what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to maintain our commitment to God. Amen. He said, verse 6, "Laid me in the lowest pit." It was extreme. In the darkness. In the deeps. Verse 7, "Thy wrath lieth hard, afflicted me with all thy waves." He's in a pretty bad way. Maintain your commitment to God. Amen. But the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, but it's really not as bad as we think it is. It depends on how you look at it. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We're looking at it from this side. Paul said we look through a glass darkly. We look through a glass darkly. Looks bad from here, don't it? You know when your body feels bad and you're sick? You young people don't really realize this, but when you get older and you start having health problems, you think, man, it's always something. We see through a glass darkly. Imagine when we see it on the other side and it's crystal clear and you got a brand new one. Never gets tired and you can eat anything you want to. Never get sick, never get tired. And you can just praise God and you can run. You can run anywhere you go or fly if you want to. How about that? And you can eat country ham with syrup on it and whipped cream and ice cream and run the 100-yard dash in 3 seconds and run with the scissors and don't worry about falling down. No cholesterol or nothing. Who cares? Do what you want to. Run with a pair of scissors in each hand. Nobody tell you what to do. Ain't that something? Maintain your commitment. Thirdly, here's the best part. We got to maintain our celebration of God. And this takes us back to verse 1. There's a gleam of glory, one bright spot in this whole psalm, this whole dark psalm. You say, why would this be in here? It looks so bad. The one bright spot in this whole book, this whole psalm in this book, he calls out to the God of my salvation. And I've already mentioned this, the Lord God of my salvation. He said the God of my salvation, notwithstanding Luke 10:20, Jesus told his disciples, "In this rejoice not, They was excited about all the things that happened, but we've already sung about this. We've already sung about it, but he said, don't rejoice about all this other stuff, the demons being subject to you, all that's irrelevant. But rejoice that way up yonder in heaven, there's a book. There's a book in the presence of the Father. It's got your name in it. Your name's written down in the book of life. Now that's worthy of rejoicing. Psalm 22, verse 3 said, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. If you want the Lord to show up, just start praising Him. We've got it backwards. Come on, piano. Right? We got it backwards. We sit around and by the way, most Baptists don't even praise the Lord anyway. Most Baptists don't even know what it is. People say that we're Church of God because Baptists have not shouted in so many years. People don't even know that Baptists used to shout. Well, long before the Church of God ever did it. Long before. But if you would start praising God for what He's done, not for what you feel. Everybody in here, if you won something, if your kid won the World Series, watching any of these ball games lately, them guys, man, I mean, I've been watching a little bit of it lately, and them guys won the pennant, man, they went nuts, they went crazy. Everybody in here would do the same thing. And if you want to, I was watching about 5 minutes of waiting for the news to come on the other day, this woman won a refrigerator or something. She went crazy, buddy. A scooter, that's what it was. She won a scooter. Them little scooters. I mean, I thought she was going to have a heart attack on stage. She went running up there and jumped on it. I mean, I'd hoot and holler, but I thought, I wish I had a half a church full like that. But if we would rejoice over what God's already done for us, the Bible said He inhabits the praises of Israel. That word inhabit means He dwells, He lives. If we'd just praise Him, He'd just show up and stay. He'll stay wherever people's praising Him at. He'll show up wherever. We just get to praising Him enough, He'll come show up. I believe that's why the Lord shows up in our services so much, because we get to singing about Jesus dying on the cross, shedding His blood, and we get to raising our hand. We preach about Him and sing about Him. We talk about the blood and the resurrection and Jesus dying, and the Lord likes that so much, He just shows up. But you go to a lot of churches, they talk about the sanctuary and grandma and what grandma donated the land and how beautiful our church is and come look at our new sanctuary. They talk about that so much. Lord ain't interested in that stuff. Lord could care less about that. He don't care about no new building. Big deal. Amen. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't mind having a new one too, but that ain't what worship's about. But the Bible said He inhabits the praises of Israel. The Bible said Job 1:20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshiped after he lost everything in his life. Everything. He fell down and worshiped and he said, naked came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Psalm 55:22 said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I could go on for another half hour giving you scriptures about praise and worship, but you already know that. You already know that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give ourselves to worship continually. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We'll give ourselves to worship. Maintain your celebration of God. Most Christian people don't want to do that. We just want to go to church every now and then a little bit and just see what the Lord can do for us. But worship is when you do something for Him. You know that? You aware of that? Are you aware that worship is when you do something for Him? It's not when He does something for you. Everybody understand that? Let's stand this morning.